Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate.
With e-commerce off the charts, many small and growing warehouses are asking, how can I get ahead when my warehouse is barely keeping up? The answer is future-ready warehouse tech from Zebra Technologies. Warehouses can simplify and upgrade all processes, from automated inventory management to hands-free picking, with Zebra's tailored, scalable mobile solutions. They're simple and intuitive. There's never been a better time to upgrade for success with Zebra. How can your warehouse get ahead? The answer is in black and white. Get the answers at zebra.com/the answer. That's zebra.com/the answer.
Businesses are retooling fulfillment operations, from warehouses to omnichannel, to meet new demand amid unprecedented labor shortages. 3PLs, retailers, B2B distributors, and others are turning to flexible fulfillment solutions like Six River Systems to adapt and scale. Six River Systems' Fulfillment Execution System is an integrated solution that combines intelligent, cloud-based software and automation, including its autonomous mobile robot, AMR, Chuck. No costly or disruptive infrastructure changes, fast and easy associate training, and integrations with other warehouse execution solutions allow operations to meet labor challenges, increase efficiency, and enhance customer engagement. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast here at MODEX 2022. We are in the booth on the floor, and I am joined by James Hendrickson. He is the president and GM at Versus Logistics, which is focused on spatial intelligence and bringing digital twins to your warehouse and doing all kinds of fancy stuff when it comes to spatial computing and really kind of changing the way things are seen, but not necessarily seen by you. I think I put that the right way, but James will give us a little more information there. And you may remember James. I talked to him way back, ProMat 2019, when he was with a different company, but this is a new venture, and I'm very excited to hear about it and reconnect with James as well. So, James, welcome to the booth, the show here. How are you doing on the first day of MODEX?
Great. Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's just nice to be back here, right? And,
oh, yeah.
And back in person, and it's almost like 2 years ago, only not as weird as it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, but normal, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so it's great to have you back here in the booth. Now, as we're talking about something different than what we talked about way back when. But so Versus, talk to us about Versus. What
sure.
is Versus?
So Versus is a company that the name comes from all of the Versus. So Metaverse, okay. Omniverse, that kind of thing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So that's where the name comes from. Mm-hmm. And as a company, we're defining larger sort of spatial web standards. So how you interact digitally in the physical world.
Right.
And many people are going, all right, well, you've already lost me,
right? Yeah. Slow down.
So how does it apply to supply chain?
Yeah.
And so what we found was, hey, the world's kind of not quite ready. It's getting closer. Mm-hmm. You know, Facebook changing their name to Meta and things like that. It's sort of pointing in that direction. And as those larger things are coming together, the thing we found was that supply chain was a really great place to start because it looked a lot like the real world, but with much more kind of controlled, bounded edges.
Right.
And we were able to deploy some of the spatial intelligence and spatial web standards into distribution centers and throughout the kind of the logistics supply chain,
right,
with really significant benefits, mm-hmm, because we're frankly just looking at the world differently.
Right. Interesting. So I mean, definitely you mentioned there, you know, you're getting very deep into the technical side, right? And
right,
it's something very technical, but it's something very smart as well. You talked about the metaverse, and obviously people have heard about, you know, Meta, Facebook change, and all these different things that are happening, and people are building mansions in the metaverse, and they're selling for all this money. But
yeah, NFTs and all that other
stuff,
right?
Yeah, all that stuff. So, I mean, you guys are not minting NFTs,
nope,
for the warehouse, right? But, you know, so when we look at the warehouse and the structure that you talked about now, I think the way you're kind of accomplishing this in a sense is utilizing digital twins, correct?
Yep, exactly.
So talk to us, I guess, first, what's a digital twin for maybe, yep, somebody that might not know, and then how does that help in operation?
Yeah, so a digital twin is a digital representation of a physical thing.
Right.
So you talked about those, you know, NFTs and things like the virtual,
yeah,
mansions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be an example of it. But what we do is we build a digital twin, mm-hmm, of a warehouse or of a container yard or, yeah, of whatever the thing the customer's interested in having.
Okay.
So today these things happen, a digital twin or something like it happens when you're doing a three-dimensional CAD, when you're laying,
okay,
out a warehouse, right, from an MHE perspective.
Yeah.
Or you see a lot of it when you are deploying AMRs, because, mm-hmm, you need to know how many do you have to deploy. Mm. And you have to model out the capacity and things like that. So today, people build digital twins or things that are like digital twins essentially for simulation.
Mm.
And what we're seeing is they use them for simulation and then they kind of just never look at them again.
Right.
We take a very different approach. So we build a digital twin, which again, the result is for you and I is like a three-dimensional map.
Okay.
That you can kind of like truly like kind of spin around and look at, and it looks super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But for us looking at it, kind of who cares?
Right.
What we are able to do is take that twin and then make it computer readable. And then we now have a three-dimensional high definition map, mm-hmm, of an entire space.
Okay.
And what we can do is then we overlay that map with a warehouse worker who's doing picking, mm-hmm, or for a autonomous forklift or an AMR or a autonomous drone.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that is overlaid in the physical space, and we sync that with a QR code or something else that indicates that we kind of locked that in that location in, mm-hmm, place, we can now navigate that physical space via navigating the digital one and keep them,
okay,
in sync. And we eliminate the need for cameras and all these other sensors on the actual warehouse edge or on the customer edge.
Okay.
So today we're mapping workers like Waze or Google Maps, mm-hmm, for a warehouse, which looks at the end a lot like traditional picking.
Right.
But what's radically different is that we're actually mapping that worker through three-dimensional space. So, mm, we know if there's a wall,
yeah,
we know when there's pillars, mm-hmm, we know all the things that we have to physically account for, because we are allowing the computer to physically see a three-dimensional space, which is kind of
gotcha,
a little bit mind-blowing, because we're not,
yeah,
used to,
yeah,
thinking about computers that way.
Yeah.
But this is like kind of the power that comes with this next era of computing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's super cool from my perspective is that we're deploying this and trying it in the supply chain space,
right,
first. Right, mm-hmm, so this industry sort of gets a rap of like kind of being 5-10 years behind some of the other spaces.
Yeah, yeah.
But because of the urgent need for, mm-hmm, us to understand the physical space and supply chain, this is where we're going first, because it's a bounded problem, right? A warehouse is a warehouse, right?
Yeah.
There's got a WMS, it's got a WES, it's got whatever it has, right? That is directing people through it, but it doesn't have like unlimited number of things that are kind of interfering there.
Mm.
So you build that, and for the most part, the warehouse doesn't really move, right?
Right.
People aren't changing racking every day.
Mm-hmm.
So as you build that digital twin and you begin seeing that space and keeping that updated, you, mm-hmm, can now route that worker, that drone, whatever it is, through that physical space,
yeah,
and no longer need the logical locations like you would have like aisle A or,
right,
you know, section one or whatever. That's no longer important. It's almost like you were sort of standing up on a mezzanine with a laser pointer,
mm-hmm,
and pointing it at where that worker needs to pick or where that drone needs to pick.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of almost like a laser guided kind of thing.
I'm gonna take you right to that point.
Take you right to that point. And not only do we take you right to that point, we give you the best path to that point.
Okay. All right, interesting.
So we're accounting for space,
yeah.
And that's the problem we're solving. And that means that you can then replace anything at the edge and deploy the tech that you want mm-hmm. at the edge, regardless of kind of what other your investments are, because you now have a view of what the space is. Hmm. So you could use voice, you could use RF picking, you could use kind of pick the light, you could use, and you could drop in drones now, because yeah. not only are we mapping XY, we're also mapping Z. So you can kind of go up and down. So we've had customers tell us, hey, I'm going to like dust off the failed drone project that we had because it failed because we couldn't figure out where it was. and they're like, well, now that I've seen this, like, why did you sell me picking? I can do the drone thing and I can do all these other things.
Yeah.
So as they start thinking about the world spatially, which, by the way, Kevin, is the way you and I see the world, right?
Right, yeah.
We're just not used to seeing computers see the world that way.
Yeah.
So when we're here at Modex, we're looking around and we can kind of peer around a corner and we can kind of, we see somebody that we know out of the corner of our eye,
right?
And we're basically making a computer operate in that way, which is kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start doing it, you're like, okay, well, if you can make it work, cool. When do we get it?
Yeah, very interesting. And I think it's a really interesting approach to being able to make things more and more efficient in the warehouse, and you said, because it's guiding you through like the best efficient path to get to different things. So tell us a little bit about how, you know, the traditional idea behind creating a pick path in your system or whatever is you know, you're using a snaking through the rack or something like that. So tell us how it kind of contrasts in that nature and how does it pick up on maybe what a faster path would be than what your system would typically dictate.
Yeah, so one big area, right, we talked about that serpentining, right? Today, you're essentially getting a pick list from your WMS.
Right.
And we all do a pretty good job of ordering that in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're not accounting for is, unless we're doing it manually, is, hey, there's a wall.
Right.
And you can't actually loop around to the other side.
Yeah.
And so every time that happens, you have to kind of go in and manually change all that.
Mm.
And we don't actually care what items are where.
Yeah.
What we care about is what the physical space is, which, again, back to what we talked about before, is what we as humans care about, right?
Yeah.
Like, awesome, you want me to pick something on the other side of this racking, but there's a wall there. I can't get there, right? So we intuitively know that, but many times systems don't know that. And so we can account for that. And then as soon as you have this mapping and you can't account for it from a traditional, like, pick pathing, you can apply the same tech to whatever else you're putting at the edge. So not only can you use it from a worker perspective, one of the things, the use cases that we hadn't really thought about here was from a forklift perspective.
Okay.
As you're getting more and more autonomous in the forklift kind of space, we're hearing some people here talking about doing kind of remote operated forklifts or more fully autonomous forklifts. One of the challenges is getting the fork entries to line up.
Right.
And so that's a use case we hadn't thought about, but we have a high definition XYZ view of the world. That problem is easy to solve.
Yeah.
And so way people were trying to solve it before is sort of like how Tesla and other people try to solve it, by putting lots of cameras, lots of sensors on.
Yeah.
We're approaching it the other way. We're going, look, let's take a three-dimensional view of the physical space,
okay,
and then keep that in sync, and now we can map with a great deal of fidelity without having to load up sensors and hope that they saw it right.
Yeah. Very interesting. And it's interesting you talked about the remote operation. We had them on the show a little earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the questions I had. It was about, you know, how do you get that if you're remote? I mean, how do you get that sense of the space that we're talking about, like as if you were sitting on the forklift? So it's interesting.
I'm going to see them next, actually.
Okay. All right. Let them know I said hi.
I will do.
So very interesting stuff. And I mean, obviously the spatial intelligence, you know, one thing I think you mentioned in there and a couple of times, you know, is a pretty complicated thing to think about from a technological standpoint. So, you know, obviously if someone's looking at it in the operations world, they want to just know, does it work, right?
Yep.
But one thing too, I think we look at as, you know, with sensors and all these different things. Now talk to us about that aspect. I mean, when you're utilizing the spatial intelligence like you guys are providing at Versus, do you still need to have all these different peripherals and attachments to your items and, you know, all different types of things on your worker or on the equipment? Do you need that kind of stuff when you utilize this technology?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we get that a lot. And the best answer is that it really depends on what you need as a customer in your operation. What level of fidelity do you need?
Yeah.
So we're used to going, all right, well, well, if we just load things up with sensors and we kind of grab all that sensor data and kind of mash it together and kick it to somebody's big data cloud, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're sort of like, and then a miracle occurs,
right?
That's how it's been working up until this point. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is we're, instead of saying we're loading you up with sensors and hoping the sensors can make sense of the world, we're starting with a sense of the world.
Yeah.
And then as you you can add sensors back in to give you finer and finer levels of detail and greater levels of fidelity.
Yeah.
So I had a customer ask, look, well, can you tell if the, like somebody drops a forklift, a pallet in the middle of the aisle?
Yeah.
Well, no, not real time today because for the most part, our customers today go, hey, you're not going to drop a pallet in the middle of the aisle. But if you're worried about somebody doing it, throw a sensor on it.
Yeah.
Right? And then we can account for it.
Yeah.
And not to say that that problem doesn't occur because... It occurs, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
but it, so it sort of is the juice worth the squeeze, right? Do you need to put that level of fidelity? Some customers, for sure.
Yeah.
Most of our customers today are looking at it like, I can get a huge amount of spatial awareness with no sensors, no additional sensors and no additional things other than some 2D barcodes that are placed around my facility that I can use to keep the 3D model from drifting. But we have also done stuff with like ultra wideband, like high definition, like spatial awareness, where we know exactly where you are. So if you want to know that, we can certainly do it. And all of it, just all it does though, is give you greater fidelity into that spatial view. So our customers can kind of pick based on what they're doing and how detailed they need it to be. And so far, I think most of us would expect that everybody would have leaned in and put a ton of sensors on. For the most part, they're not. They're going, look, what we have with like a traditional handheld, good enough.
Yeah, that's good to know because I think, I think that's one other thing that, you know, people get worried about when you start bringing in new technologies and stuff is like, you know, am I going to have to add all these additional things and expand upon what I already have? And the fact that you can just, you know, come in and be able to just utilize the system as that you guys are providing the way it is. And if you want to go that finer level of detail, like you mentioned, the pallet drop, then you can do that. So you have that flexibility, which I think is a great thing. So talk to us a little bit about the spatial order picking, the wayfinder, I think is what you guys are calling it. What is that and how does that differ from traditional picking that you may be doing already?
Yeah, so I guess one thing to kind of call out when, you know, you talked about new technology, right? And so the first thing you do as a company that's doing new technology is you make sure you have an easy to understand use case and you have an application that fits into that, into a, something that can you can kind of present to people in the industry and go, all right, you understand this.
Yeah.
And essentially that's what we did here. We said, all right, we have this spatial view of the world, which is different than anybody else is looking at it. But trying to talk to the logistics space around a digital twin and like all of this stuff, it sort of feels a little bit like magic. So what we did to start with is we said, all right, what can we do with this spatial view of the world in the supply chain? And so we developed this Wayfinder application, which is takes that digital twin. Everything starts with a digital twin for us. And then it's mapped to the item master that the customer has from their WMS. No changes to the WMS other than using the existing API that they had. Map to that item master, and now when you have to pick whatever item it is, we're routing through physical space to that location. And so what we're finding is there's a at least in when we talked before, I was talking to you about some innovative ways of picking. Lots of people start with picking because it's a pretty reoccurring, expensive use of your workers, right? And then suddenly, you know, putting sort of looks a lot like picking when you do it the other direction, right? Like it ends up being kind of the sweet spot to start with. And so we started with picking, like many people do, and then what we're finding is sort of a follow-on effect of, hey, now that you have this spatial awareness, can you help me dynamically reslot? And we're like, yup. Can you help me? And can you do it from a spatial perspective? Like, I know how physically big it is, and I know how physically big the space is because we did a spatial mapping, and I know that I can't put it there, and I know, or I know that I reached the capacity of my facility, and then anything we order beyond that now has to go into overflow, which has extra costs and all those other things. So I think as we kind of continue to progress here, we will continue uncovering new use cases. But the Wayfinder one right now is delivering huge value, right? Because for the customers we have are seeing greatly reduced training time, especially in spaces that have really high turnover.
Yeah.
So one of our customers is hiring something like 10 people a day, right? And
wow.
And like, you know, it's the space we're in right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so they don't have time for a multi-week onboarding process.
Right.
So they are up and going inside of a day because the handheld's mapping them where they can go.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we talked about this Wayfinder handheld app. Because we are caring about mapping in space, we also don't kind of care what you're running it on. So we have customers that wanted to run it on HoloLens, so kind of heads-up right. display, and they're able to take the same data and deploy it in that use case. And in that same one, just make sure that we're not kind of putting all of our eggs in the HoloLens basket.
Yeah,
we can also deploy onto their existing vehicle mounts.
Okay.
So, and it's giving the same spatial routing and the same pick and pathing through the space in HoloLens on a handheld or on a vehicle mount. Because, again, what we care about is the physical space.
Right.
And then just all we have to simply do is map to the item that they need to pick, and we can find the shortest path through the warehouse.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think cutting down the training time is a huge thing. As like you said, the environment we're in now, I mean, it's just, you need people to go right away. So anything.
Because they might not be there tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I need to get, you know, if I get 4 hours out of them today and I can't get anything for the rest of the year out of them, at least I can get 4 hours, right? So I mean, it's very great that what you guys are doing here. And I see, like, I mean, there's huge potential and use cases for this technology. So I can only imagine, you know, how it's going to grow and expand upon, not just in the supply chain space, but it sounds like, you know, outside of the supply chain space as well. But we're happy you started in supply chain space.
We are too.
Sure. Yeah,
we are too. So. And so I guess one point I would actually make is that, like, our intent is not to kind of keep building these edge applications,
right?
As a new technology, you have to do that. Otherwise, nobody knows how to deploy it.
Mm-hmm.
Our intent, and one of the reasons that we're excited about being back physically in person here at MODEX, is to tell people about this from our strategic partnership perspective, and then have those applications being built up around this spatial technology. Because this is an open standard; it is going through the IEEE approval process.
Right.
So the people who brought you Wi-Fi, they're the ones that are also validating this.
Okay, great. Great to know, and definitely look forward to seeing how this is going to expand upon and you know, the difference it's going to make in our warehousing lives and just make that space make a lot more sense. So thanks so much for coming by the booth, James.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And it's good to reconnect after all this time as well. If people want to find out more information about Versys, how can they do that?
They can go to versys.io. That's VERSES.io.
All right, great. And we'll put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com as well. So, James, thank you for coming by and enjoy the rest of your show.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.